Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another in the series of Establishing Your Faith. Establishing Your Faith. Where you and I are studying how to walk in faith from the greatest book of faith ever could be, God's Holy Word. Led by the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of faith, and the teacher of faith. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will teach you all things. Why? Because he is the very Spirit of truth. And by Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank God for Jesus in our lives. And, you know, that's the wrong person. All right. That's all right. I just sent an invitation to somebody I wasn't going to do, but it's all right. So tonight we're going to be studying dreams again because, you know, the more you look at this thing, the more you just realize, wow, God Almighty is doing powerful work here on this earth with all of us through our dreams. And so we're going to jump right into this tonight and pray some of our prayers. Not that one. That's a blank page. Let's pray this one. Pray some of our prayers that we've been praying for the election and for what's happening around the world and here in the United States of America. So, I'm going to share my screen. Everybody, I pray that you're having a great fall. Welcome to Thanksgiving month. Almost there. Nope, didn't make it. Got to grab one more thing and bring it over here with us. There we go. Now we're there. And we'll go down here and grab our Pledge of Allegiance. There we go. Rise together with me. We'll make our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those that are missing in action, those who paid that last full measure of devotion, those still serving today. This moment of silence in honor of every veteran who today bears the scars of battle in his spirit, his soul, and in his body. This moment of silence. It's in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved ones' life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence lasts for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join with me as we speak. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And now, our opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God. I want to say that one again. As the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever, everyone's life, by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love, which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed. Say it boldly. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in that same measure. We fulfill the Great Commission today. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless our partners and each believer in these nations, United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Malawi, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Tunisia, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Bulgaria, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, Nepal, India, Pakistan, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Kazakhstan, China, Romania, and all the nations of the world. Thank you, Jesus. We have the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 16, 17 through 19. Jesus, we proclaim you are the Christ. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave us the keys of the kingdom. As Jesus instructs us, we agree together for the victory. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So we gather together all of our brothers and sisters around the world tonight in the international network of prayer and faith. And we declare, thy will be done. We agree together and we declare that you are doing a mighty work through our prayer of agreement together in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, thank you, Jesus, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift for our lives. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life right now today. Now, this is Wednesday night all across America and around the world. Churches are meeting, and some are in the homes, some are in a building, some are at the coffee shop, some are online. We declare right now, God bless the fivefold ministry as they minister all over this nation, whoever they may be, whatever they may be doing. Give them great boldness. Give them great confidence. Give them great the power of God in a great and mighty manifest way. Here we go. The fivefold ministry and the body. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. We give you glory, Jesus, so that we will no longer be children to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of the wicked spiritual leaders. Make it manifest. May people be able to see when they're speaking the truth and it's just a religious spirit. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head. Say it with me. I am growing up. I am growing up. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask for your mercy. We repent together of the sins of this nation. We seek your face, Lord. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices. Say it right out loud at your home with me. Of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. And now, in case you haven't read it in a while, the preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America. And this is what our governmental leaders are supposed to be doing. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, people come to me often and say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Teach me to pray. Well, I'm showing you right now one of the greatest ways to pray, and that is speaking the will and the word of Almighty God. Grab a verse of scripture, and this is how you learn to pray, is you speak God's word. Good evening, Sunday. Brother Roger, Sister Rebecca, we love you guys. I'm Board. Welcome, Board. We're glad to have you. We're going to have to give you a new name. I'm going to call you Diligent. God bless you. The declaration to crush the isms. And the name high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts any nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. click to all the isms. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you, not our Bibles, our Constitution, or our rifles, or our churches, as far as that goes. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 144:14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. In Jesus' name, we boldly declare we will not allow the lies and deception to function hidden from the light of your word any longer. We ask you for transformative change to come into our nation and the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Give us educational leaders who will work diligently from within to change it and to work alongside of the parents in the training of their children. Give us leaders in government who will promote godly change, uproot, dismantle, and silence those governmental leaders who have willingly accepted this demonic humanistic agenda. Uproot, dismantle, and silence those in the media that dare to promote this godless curse of humanism. We bind the perverse spiritual forces behind humanism, declaring that by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the humanistic agenda and all of its yokes are destroyed by the word of truth. All of its efforts are dead from the roots up, and the believers will say like the disciples, "Master, that tree we cursed is dead. With your authority, might, dominion, and empowerment, we prophesy the end of the humanistic agenda." The voices of the ecclesia will continually become louder than the voices of the humanist abominations. We are the righteous, and we are as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. We raise our voices louder than the government. We know as we pray, you hear our voice in heaven, and their voice will no longer be heard on earth because people see the truth. We know you hear our prayers. We know we have the petition that we ask, and we thank you for it. We know you're baptizing the body of Christ with power from on high to contend for the faith, and we have taken authority over this force of wickedness. over this action of wickedness. We're the force. We declare deliverance and salvation comes today to those who have been bound by its deception. We believe that all across this land, a powerful demonstration of your ecclesia will be seen continually. We ask for it. We declare it. We prophesy it in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank you for speaking your faith with me this evening. Thank you. As we continually stand in the gap, I saw this picture in my mind right now while we were making that confession. I saw this in my mind's eye. I don't know how you say that. I'm just going to say it, though, because we're believing for dreams and visions and revelation. And I saw it when I said we've spoken to this tree, and like the disciples, we're going to be able to say, look at there, Master, that tree shriveled up. And I see that the first time we spoke it, the tree shriveled and died. It was dead. Of course, there's millions of other people that are speaking it too. But I saw that every time we say that, here's someone somewhere that was bound by the deception. And every time we say it, the deception is removed from their eyes. And they're like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this at all. Not in any sense of the word. And I declare it right now tonight that another 15 politicians from the Democrats just say, that's it. I'm done. I'm moving now. I'm not waiting. I'm moving now. If I don't get the election, don't matter. I'm moving now. I'm not going to be known with that godless group of people who continually move against Almighty God. I declare it. I declare it in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. We declare, Father, it between now and Tuesday morning, may there be upset after upset after upset. May there be surprise that just shocks the whole world. May people stand in awe of what you're doing. Miracles, signs, and wonders, Jesus. May there be miracles, signs, and wonders, and people just stand in awe of your wonderful grace, mercy, and love, and your judgment and your recompense, because it's the very foundation of your throne. And we give you glory, and we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, for those of you in the family, the Community of Faith family, which is every one of you that's here, you just got to get connected to us and stay connected. Just do it. Just do it. And I don't know if you saw it, but one of the CEOs for Nike, actually the founder of Nike, actually put $1 million into Kerry Lake's campaign in Arizona. God bless this man. And may these billionaires get involved right now and crush this foul thing that's going on. I'm going to go right back into that. And I got to teach my lesson tonight, so I'm going to stay very focused. You may not pay a lot of attention to this because many people say, politics, whatever. You cannot be there. We cannot let this election fail or fall. And I've been posting in them at different times. And today I posted a picture of it, that prayer that I pray at the top of every hour. I would ask you between now and the election and even beyond the election, all the way up till January 20th, January 1st, where the next group of politicians will be sworn in, that you fast and pray with us. Now, you don't have to go on a complete water fast like Jesus did or go up in the wilderness like Moses unless that's what God tells you to do. However, I encourage you to do it for a couple reasons. Number one, it's good for your body and it's good for your soul. It really is. And when God sees consecration like that, God moves. God moves. You can't fast 97 days and have great big amazing victories because you did such a good job of giving up your food and starving. That's not God. God is consecration. So it's not only giving up food, but it's rending your heart before God in humility, humbling yourself, getting rid of any God, getting rid of any of yourself that's trying to stand up and be Lord. Yeah. And pray with us. That's a simple prayer. I've got another one that takes about 15 minutes that I would be glad to send you. And if you ask for it, I'll be glad to send it to you. And I encourage you, every one of us have a part in this, and we must hold the line. This perversion has to leave America now. Revival is happening everywhere across this nation. The blessing of the Lord that makes rich is happening all the way across this nation. We're seeing God do some pretty marvelous things. And Father, we give you glory and honor and praise right here, right now, tonight for what you're doing all across America right now, tonight. And when the program turns off, may we see the result of it in the news. May we see the result of it. And we give you glory in advance for it. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I have been considering being live on Zoom. I want everybody to hear this. I've been considering being live on Zoom on election day, using these prayers that we have as an hour of prayer and then repeating it every hour. And asking people to go sit at their local precinct in the parking lot and take your charger with you, turn on your phone, and pray these prayers out loud while the voting is going on. And I think it would be awesome to have someone from every precinct be there. It's been a challenge to get all of this information out. However, this is what we know, that God has got people praying everywhere. God, connect us with every one of them that you can connect us with. And if you want to go to your precinct and pray for an hour, carry your charger with your phone, sit there on the phone. I'll have it on the PowerPoint so you have the ability to read it very clearly. And you know what? We'll change America by the reality of righteousness that's here in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray over our brother Paul Oxy. Help him. Raise him up so he can be here tonight. Sick, go. Strength, come in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for everyone that we haven't seen in a very long time to show up tonight and be here. I declare that every person that has never been here before, but you want them with us, that they find us tonight in their search, in their homepage, on a recommendation, something, and they say, huh, this looks like a patriotic program. Better go see what this is. And they come and they find an answer tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray right here, right now. Amen and amen and amen. Now, let me give you one more thought here before we get started. I really am believing, God, that you will begin to have dreams and you'll remember them and you will write them down. Writing them down or recording them is one of the most important things that you can do, because it keeps you, it helps it be in front of you where you can go back and read it again. And it'll be a blessing to you, and it'll remind you of what God said, and you'll stay focused on it. If you don't ever write anything down, you're just always being tossed to and fro here and there. As soon as you start writing it down and reading it every day, now all of a sudden, you get focused on what God wants to do in your life. And I encourage you to do that in one way or another. On a piece of paper, do it on the phone, in your notepad. Find a way to begin to catalog what it is that God's saying to you. And all of a sudden, all of this word that you've been trained is going to begin to manifest. The word inside of you either is going to manifest or it's going to rot. And you don't want the rot word in Jesus' mighty name. Now, here we go. Let's get into our program for this evening. Give me just a second here. Some reason I got to turn my page because I filled that one up with notes. There we go. Always make sure you put a date on it to November 22. And you ready? We have this time slot stamp over here. Take your Bibles with me again tonight to Job 33. Job chapter 33. And as you can tell, as we do around here often, as God does around here often, he gives us a subject. We get into the middle of it, and we stay there until we find an answer. And then we find another one. And the next thing we know, one of y'all saying, "Woo! I got a diamond over here, and I got some gold. Pastor, look at this." That's how the kingdom of God operates. And it says, the whole body joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies. And that's why your place is so important right here in Jesus' mighty name. Are you there? Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33. Somebody shout, "I love the word. I love the word." Now, we're going to go through this thing again tonight, we've been going, and just go right down, and we're going to just keep studying all the time that God used the dream, not in-depth study, but looking at how God uses the dream. God spoke to Abraham in a dream. We saw that last night. God spoke to Abimelech in a dream and kept him from violating a man's wife. And then God spoke to Jacob in a dream. And then God spoke to Laban in a dream. So you got Abraham, righteous. Abimelech evidently had some form of righteousness. And then Jacob, trying to be righteous. Laban, totally wicked. All four of those men had a dream. And God spoke to them in that dream and gave them very, very specific instructions. And so we're going to see that tonight. Here we go. Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession. Say this with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus
says I am. I go do what... Wait. I got my confessions all messed up. Because he is the great I am.
God is the great I am.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant it in the good soil of my heart.
And plant it in the good soil of my heart.
Which produces a hundredfold return and more.
Which produces a hundredfold return and more.
Of my understanding of God's holy word.
My understanding of God's holy word.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen and amen. Amen. Here we go. Thank you, Mary. Yeah. For God, this is Job 33, 14 through 16. Now, I know we've been on these verses a lot, but I'm going to tell you, that's what makes these verses become very powerful in your life, is when you get it down inside of you as revelation. 14, Job 33, 14. God may speak in one way or in another, and yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, I declare over every one of you that when you lie down, your sleep will be deep. While men slumber on their beds, then he, capital He, then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man, keeps back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. We've been in these verses now for quite a while. And we're there because of the power of it. Now, I want you to watch this again. I'm going to open up my e-sword like I've been doing and show you guys how you can do this. And let's go to desktop 2 here. Watch this. I want you to see this. This is my e-sword right here. I learned something very powerful from e-sword after all I've known. Let's go back to the Bible. And you can see up here, there's a blue dot that says Bible, and this says Bible. When you go right underneath the Bible right here on the left, you see Job 33, and we're going to go down here to verse 14. Now, I want to click the word, I think it was, he opens their ears. Nope. Wow, did you look at that revelation in that right there? I clicked the cross-reference. Now watch this. Now, Sister Sunday, Brother Roger, I'm going to give us a bunch of verses right now. Goodness sakes alive. Wow. So I'm on verse 15, but watch this. Amen, Roger. Roger Oxy just testified that last night while he slept, he was in deep sleep. How awesome is that, brother? Thank you for telling us. Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot. Now, what you see here is the word a dream, and then you see a bunch of verses after it. And if it's small on your phone, don't worry about it. I'm just going to keep saying this so people can see it. What I can do is click on each of those words. So the first one is Job 4, 33:15, that's right, Sunday. And now Job 4:13. Wow. In disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men. Evidently, God led Job pretty powerfully by his dreams. I'm going to go grab that verse. Job 4:13. Because I don't want to change my book there. Wow. Look at this. Hang on just a second.
A little bit bigger.
Job, verse 12, 13. Hold on a second. And 14. Yeah, that's okay, Roger. You're doing a good job. Watch this. Job 4:12 through 14. Now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a whisper of it. In disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones shake. Who's speaking here? Eliphaz. I guess he's going to tell us what it was. Let's just keep reading. Can then a spirit pass before my face? I would imagine, Sunday, we're going to go all the way down through verse 21. A spirit passed before my face. The hair on my body stood up. It stood still. I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? No. If he puts no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, these guys must have knew how to charge those angels. How much more those who dwell in the houses of clay, whose foundation is in dust, who are crushed before a moth. They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever with no one regarding. Does not their own excellence go away? They die even without wisdom. Well, there it is, twice in one book saying the exact same thing. Job 4. 12 through 14. Isn't that something? Well, I'm going back over here to the app now, and it says the next one is Genesis 20, verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman you have taken. For she is a man's wife. Now, let's just put our verse to test. And I'm going to go to that verse, Genesis 20, verse 3. Let's just go there. We read this a little bit last night, but it bears repeating because I want you to see This isn't just some doctrine that I birthed up somewhere and said, wow, look at this. How about we follow this one for a while? I'm going to follow this one all the days of my life. Why? Because God speaks to the righteous and the unrighteous in a dream. If their heart is open as the righteous and they don't speak with their mouth saying it's just a dream, and God speaks to the wicked and makes them shake in their shoes. Chapter 20, Genesis 20, and let's go down. Now let's just read the whole chapter. We're going to just read the whole chapter. We got all of eternity, and we're going to see this dream work right now. Chapter 20, verse 1. And so it's 1 through 18. Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. You notice that God didn't come to Abraham in a dream by night? Came to Abimelech saying, you knucklehead, what are you doing? God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you're a dead man. Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman who you have taken, for she is another man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he's my brother? In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Abimelech is talking to the Lord in his dream. Six, God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Therefore, restore the man's wife, for he's a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Wow. Abimelech rose early in the morning, called his servants, and told all these things in their hearing. And the men were very much afraid. Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. So Abimelech is a righteous man. Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view that you have done this thing? Abraham said, I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. Abraham was operating in fear, and therefore this destruction came upon everybody. But indeed, she's truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother. Abimelech took sheep, oxen, male and female servants, gave them to Abraham, and he restored Abraham to his wife. Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell wherever it pleases you. Sarah said to Sarah, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants, for they bore no children, for the Lord had closed up the womb of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. God spoke in a dream to this king who was getting ready to create, to sin, and it be very destructive to him. It doesn't matter who you are. If you will open up for the Holy Spirit of God to begin to minister to you in dreams and vision, they will come alive. But remember, the power of life and death is in your tongue. And if you've spent your whole life saying, oh, it's just a dream, then it may be a while before those dreams come back to life in your life, because you have, by your own words, told God, don't worry about those dreams. They're just dreams. I don't want any of those. And it's not really the case, but your words are what God has to go by all of history. God goes by the words that come out of our mouth. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks, and that's how we will be judged. Let's go to the next one here. Genesis 31:24. Now, we studied that one last night. Jacob was leaving, and Laban said, I'm going to go get my stuff back. And God said to Laban, you better not touch him. So when Laban showed up where Jacob was, Laban said, it's in my power to do to you what I want. And God's in the background saying, oh, no, it is not. And you better not act like it is. Now, no, it wasn't about adultery. You know, back in those days, the king could have had a number of wives. And he had taken Sarah and had put her into his harem, or whatever you call it, a number of his wives. And so God was stopping him before he committed adultery, Roger. That's a good question. Thanks for asking it. He stopped him before he committed adultery. Now, let's go to the next one. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. Wow. All right. Numbers chapter 12. Come on. We're going to read our way through the Bible about dreams. Numbers chapter 12. Yeah, this is powerful. Woo, Jesus. This one's really, 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 really powerful. Oh, what happened? Nope. Job 33:15. Cross-reference. There it is. Number chapter 12, verse number 6. All right, so we're going to start with I'm going to read this whole chapter. Numbers chapter 12. We're going to see God speak in it. We're going to see the word dream come up in another one of God's leaders, and we're going to watch God's judgment pour out on wicked people. Ready? Chapter 12, verses 1 through 16. Numbers chapter 12. Man, I want everybody to have a dream. Since God is going to speak to us in the middle of a night and get us past something that's got us stuck, God, give me dreams all night long. And I'm having them. It's like as soon as I close my eyes, I start dreaming. I love it. Numbers chapter 12. If you're not there, don't be condemned. Remember, all of our teaching and preaching is fivefold ministry gift. is for one purpose, and that is so that you and I can grow and develop in God. If your heart is being revealed tonight in front of you, then I encourage you, change your heart. Change your heart and deal with yourself. Every bit of God is that you and I humble ourselves and bring ourselves under his leadership. Submit is what the word is. Bring ourselves under. Now, here we go. Wait, I got to do one more thing here. Get this back up. I took it off the phone so that we're back to just you looking at me now. Here we go. Well, I can get my finger up there and point it right at the screen. Numbers 12, watch this. Wow, we're doing good. Miriam said, Miriam and Aaron, the leaders, spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. They said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Well, yes, he did hear it. God hears everything. Verse number 3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Who's writing this? Moses is writing this because when Moses wrote this, God told him, you write that. Verse 4. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. This is a severe day of God's judgment getting ready to happen to two of his leaders. Verse 6, he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Wow. All you got to do is say, Father, I want revelation, and he's going to give it to you. There's a prophet among you. I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, in a dream. I don't think it matters, Roger. I haven't had a night of deep sleep since I started praying for all of you to have it. Because I keep waking up. I'm having these dreams and waking up. And maybe I'm deep sleeping during the dream, but I'm just waking up. So it doesn't matter. I just want to see all of you have deep sleep. And you wake up rested, just like Roger said. I just woke up completely rested. Verse 7. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I will speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? 9. The anger of the Lord was roused against them. And he, notice that he there is capitalized, that's God. And God departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishness and in which we have sinned. That's a very good time to start repenting right there. Start repenting. Please do not be her as, let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. The Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not have been shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Extreme judgment, because she stood against God's leader, who God said is the most humble man on the face of the earth. What's the vision and dream principle? God said, this is God speaking, I will give a prophet dreams and visions. Let's look at the next one they got up here. Jeremiah chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 28. I'm just going to read that one verse. Jeremiah 23, 28. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Jeez. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. You know, the word of God is filled with some of the most amazing witnesses of who God is. The word of God is filled with some of the most amazing witnesses. But we are going to have to open up this book, and we're going to have to get it. And you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, Hebrews 1, and let's go down to verse 4. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. Thank you, Father, for this study. This is an amazing study. This is an absolutely amazing study. I hope you're in awe and wonder like me. Somebody shout amen or something. Brother Roger, we got to get a big amen out of you. Oh, no, see, no, it's a good question, Roger. How does that happen? Go ahead, Mary.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read this. Hebrews 1, 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So when you look at that word various ways, what was one of the ways that God spoke in times past? Through dreams and visions. Now, I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to look just a little deeper at this, because I want to see just a little bit. I'm going to go back on my e-sword and go up here. Who at sundry times and in diverse manners, which means minis, spoke. Utter a word, utter a word, utter a word. To use words in order to declare one's mind and discover one's thoughts. All right. So I was just checking to see if any of those words in there in the original language actually meant the word dream or vision, because that's just like God. That's just like God. Various ways. Well, I've circled that, and I'm drawing a line, and I'm going to put dreams and visions. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. Man, this is rich. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. Watch. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. This is talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by his power, by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Glory be to God. 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 This is just getting gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder. Don't you just love this? God spoke in many different ways to his people. Now, let me get back here, get my compare going here again, get all the verses. Did we get that? Let's go back to Genesis 15 now, and let's read about Abraham again. See, what God's saying to you and I right now, we'll read one through 21. Genesis 15, 1 through 21. Here we go. Hold on just a second. Genesis 15. Oh, this is so good. Wait. I want you to realize God wants to talk to every one of us in the same manner right here. This is an Old Testament man. Certainly he's Abraham, and God, he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Yes, that's true. But our sins are totally washed away, guys. We not only are cleansed and purged, we actually have the righteousness of Jesus. And God Almighty lives on the inside of us. God Almighty lives on the inside of us. Abraham did not have this, but we do. Watch how God speaks to Abraham in this set of verses, because I'm declaring God speaking to you right now in a dream, in a vision, in a way that you have never seen before in your life. As Roger said, I'm declaring God gives you deep sleep, number one, so you sleep good, and number two, so while you're out there, God can seal an instruction in your ear. Matter of fact, Mary, Dan too, if you want, but turn your mic on and say this with me for a second, guys. Let's make a confession to God right now, together, if you can. Say this with me. Father God.
Father God.
I know you hear my prayers.
I know you hear my prayers.
I know when I pray, you answer.
I know. Newton.
So I ask you for dreams and visions.
So I ask you for dreams and visions.
And I know they're coming.
And I know they're coming.
Whether or not I remember them.
Whether or not I remember them.
And I know you will bring them to the forefront.
And I know that you will bring them to the forefront.
Of my mind when I need them.
Of my mind when I need them.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Genesis 15. Watch this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Here he is in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Now, I want you to think about this. All of this conversation is going on in a vision. You and I very much have the ability to carry on a conversation with God in a dream, in a vision, and get an answer that we need for our life. Here's biblical proof and reference. When you begin to study the Bible, and you begin to be established in the things of God, remember, biblical precedence is one of the greatest things that will always adjust the doctrine that you're looking at or beginning to believe. If there's biblical precedence of it happening over and over, you can believe that doctrine. Now watch. Verse 5. No, 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, toward the heaven, and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. He is in a vision. He's in a vision. And God said, look at the stars. God is talking to Abraham in a vision. This is amazing. 6. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to Abraham for righteousness. When you and I see this word, and we grab it, and we accept it, and we receive it, and we believe, when we believe, righteousness comes into us. It's not just accounted to us. We become righteous. We literally become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. He said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle, placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Keep reading. He said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. God is prophesying to Abraham in this deep, dark horror about his descendants going to Egypt. The nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they will come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I got more I want to do here. But see, we got to realize, drop the fear of it. Drop the fear of it. Let's go real quick to, once again, we didn't get there tonight when we were reading our foundation verses because all of a sudden we got wowed. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're establishing this as a biblical precedent. And it doesn't matter how many times we've been there. You and I are just studying the Word of God, growing and developing in God in ways that we may have never grown before. But it'll be all right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is 2 Corinthians 12, and let's read 1 through 6. This is the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, all right? This is the New Testament. It is doubtless, oh, Jesus, not profitable for me to boast never because I wasn't. Let's just say it this way. I shouldn't boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. You say that right at your home. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Some of you, God's speaking to you big time about this. Get these verses out and write them down and put them into a confession like you see me do right here on the program and begin to speak them out loud. I will come to dreams, to visions and revelations of the Lord. Say it again. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now let's hear his vision. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know. Out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up third heaven. In a dream, in a vision, in a trance. Maybe it happened. He doesn't know. That lets you know that it was so real, Paul didn't know whether he was actually there, just in a vision. 4, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Verse 5, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But if I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations of the dream. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. Here's the thorn in the flesh verse. Don't stop there. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. A thorn in the flesh was not from God. No more did Job only, geez, help me, Lord, get my words right here. Job went through all that for only about 20 days. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, but it wasn't from God. It's from Satan to buffet him because of the amount of revelation that he had. Remember how we studied Matthew 13, verses 12, verses 10 through 12, that the more revelation you get, the more revelation God's going to give you. And the more revelation you get and grab a hold of and steward and contain, the more he's going to give you. and the enemy's going to start sending fiery darts, thorns in the flesh, it don't matter. They're all from the devil. Pick them out, pull them out, shake your shield off, and keep moving. When the word gets strong and faith comes strong, then the fiery darts come. Don't ever accept what that fiery dart does as who you are. It is not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a lie and a picture of your past. Don't believe it. And Paul said, because of the abundance of the revelation I received in that vision, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Don't put up with it. Don't wear it all your life and show it to everybody. That's pride. Rebuke that thing and drive it out of you. That's what Paul did. Everywhere he went, the demons were stirred up against him. People were stirred up against him. The Jews were stirred up against him. It didn't stop him. He didn't ask for it. He didn't brag about it. He just went right into the synagogue and said, I'm going to turn your life around right now. You quit teaching that garbage and you start teaching Jesus the Christ. And Paul wasn't there to show off his thorn. He was there to preach the gospel of the kingdom. I am preaching better than you're staring right now. 2 Chronicles. You can't find second and first, Sam. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 1, and we're going to read 4 through 12. 2 Chronicles 1, 4 through 12. I think we're doing pretty good here tonight. Thank you, Sunday, for putting the verses in. I truly, truly appreciate it.
I'm getting something out of it, so I think you're doing good.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. Bless you, Mary. We love you. Verse 4. David had brought up the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim to place David had prepared for it. For he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Now the bronze altar that Bezaleel, the servant of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, before the tabernacle of the Lord. Solomon and the assembly sought him. Notice that him is capitalized. That's God. Sought God there. Verse 6. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. He has been named king, and now he's in charge. He's a young man, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Don't ever offer to God something that doesn't cost you something. The cheaper the gift you give to God, the less it means to him. When you flip God a quarter, that doesn't mean anything to him. Solomon was so serious about his position, he offered 1,000, look at that, 1,000 burnt offerings at that altar. Do you know how long it's going to take to make 1,000 burnt offerings? That's going to take you a while. This man was seriously humbling himself before God Almighty, saying, I need your help. Verse 7, you ready? On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, in the book of Kings, 1 Kings 3, 1 through 15, it says that God spoke to him in a dream. Here we go. Ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said to God, in the vision, in a dream, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me a king over a people like the dust in the earth in multitude. 10. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? This conversation is happening in a dream. It's happening in a dream. Let's see what God said. God said to Solomon, remember, in a dream, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I made you a king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you in that dream. Now, guys, that's Old Testament, that wisdom and knowledge is imparted to him. I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. That happened in a dream. In a dream. I want you to get this. If you can't tell, I'm just a little bit amazed that I've not done a study on this sooner than what I have. Because this is absolutely amazing what God said he's going to do. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to read 1 Kings 3, and we're going to read verses 5 down through 15. 1 Kings 3, 5 through 15. Now, you might say, Pastor, why do you always read so much word? Why don't you just give us a verse? Because just giving people a verse is what's caused them to begin to listen to deceiving, seducing, confusing spirits. And I'm just not going to do it. We got to read the word of God. We're not hurting anything. We got all the eternity. All of a sudden, our eyes are being opened to many hidden truths that are in the same reference points of what it is we've been speaking and quoting and claiming, but we've never read the chapter. So here we go. At Gibeon, the Lord appointed to Solomon in a dream by night, appeared to him. And God said, ask what I will give you. Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you've given him a son to sit on his throne, and as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to come out or go in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Verse 9. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing in his dream. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. That's something. Understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. 15. Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all of his servants. That's why when you have a dream, technicolor, and you wake up saying, I had a dream, grab something and start writing. Even if it's just every other third word, write it down, pick up your phone, hit the voice recorder, and begin to say, where, God, wow, what are you doing? What are you showing me? What is getting ready to happen in my life? Now, the next page is in 1 Kings 3. Is verses 16 through 28. I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to refer to them because I'm done for tonight, and I want us to be able to receive communion tonight early. I'm instructed by God to get this thing, get this message taught, and to get communion done and get us out of here tonight at an earlier hour. This story is about the two women who had a baby. The one woman, the baby was sleeping by her in the bed. She rolled over on it, crushed the baby, and the baby died. The other woman's baby was alive. And in the middle of the night, the one who had rolled over on her baby took that baby and put it in bed with the other lady. Well, naturally, the lady whose baby was alive said, this is not my son, that one is. All right? And so then they went before the king, verse 23, the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Verse 24, then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son and said, oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means killing. The other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but dividing. King answered and said, give the first woman the living child and by no means killing. She is the mother. What did God give him? Wisdom to lead the people. Right there, immediately after, God gave him wisdom. God gave him wisdom. I'm going to finish with my verse in Job again. Because I declare to you, we are getting past the sticking points of our life. Those things that you and I have believed all of our life that are holding us bound, and we don't know how to get past it. But the word of God is coming in you every night, every night, every night, every night. And that word is hammering that stuff down, hammering it down. And now, Job 33, I'm going back to verse 14 through 18. And we're going to get this into every one of our lives tonight. And it's going to get in deeper and deeper and deeper. I encourage you. If you want God to speak to you in a dream, you got to get a notebook. You got to get you something that you can record those dreams on, and you got to keep it with you. You got to have it by your bed. Serious. You ask Sister Leanne, that notepad is by my bed every night. The pen is by my bed every night. My Bible is by my bed every night. Because if I wake up in the middle of the night and God wants to talk to me about something, I'm writing it down. I'm recording it on my phone. And I am entering into what God has for me. But if you don't make yourself ready, then God can't be there. It's the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The five wise knew what to do, but they didn't do it. No, the five wise did it, but the five foolish, they knew what to do, but they were lazy. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? And maybe they'll give me something when I get there. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, your lamp's empty, the door's shut, you missed it. God wants you and I to get serious about this so that we can see things done. Matter of fact, I would suggest to you that you get a notebook like that, put your kid's name on each page in that notebook. And every kid have a page. Your grandkids have a page. Why? So that you can say, Father, speak to me about this one, and then write it down, and then you begin to speak it and pray it out every day. Use the same notebook. Use the same prayers. Use the same revelation. Go ahead, Brother Dan. You got a word?
Yeah, I just want to share something. You can say it that way or whatever. That's all right. I don't wear my feelings on my sleeves or nothing. But you were talking about dreams, and you said speak to God in your dreams, and I thought. And that hit me. I mean, it hit way down inside of me. And it's like, okay. So you start thinking. And I thought, well, yeah, but Lord, if I speak to you, I'll wake up. I would rather know what you had to say to me. And yeah, he's like, inside, it's like, yeah, but I want to hear from you. I want to communicate with you. And he brings Mary to mind, and if I'm wrong, you can tell me, but didn't she have a dream? I'm not sure what the word said there, but anyway, I got to go and dig up, go through scriptures, the different ones that had dreams, but I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
When I think about what have I received, and it's like, well, I've never moved forward enough to want to. I mean, I want to talk, but I've never moved forward in there or ever practiced at it in understanding that to communicate with God. But he wants to communicate with us when he gives us a dream. So anyways, that was really just, what would you say? It was an insight in the whole dreaming. And if when God's in there, now I'm going to confident to a lot of things in my dreams because I'm going to start speaking up. But anyways, I just felt like I should share that. Cause
yeah.
We should be looking for him and speaking with him instead of just quieting down and not wanting to be woke up or to stop the dream.
Yeah. And
I'm gonna go to vision right there. Go ahead.
Well, and think about it. Now, how do you talk to God in your dreams? How do you train yourself for that? And put some words to that.
Well, I thought about there's times when I've been dreaming, and I'll be like, well, no, that's not right. In a dream, I'll go another direction. Because I know within myself that's, we're not going to go here, we're not doing this, or whatever. I've been there many times, but yet I've never actually tried to get out and speak or ask. I've never went to bed and asked God, let let me know if you want me to speak to you, if I've been a dream, or if I'm supposed to just receive knowledge for it.
Right.
I've just never been that open to that. It's always, well, no, I don't want to be woken up. But there are people that have had dreams that have communicated, and it's like they weren't worried about being woke up. That wasn't their was the first thing, and there's things accomplished by that. So you just have, in a dream like that, I'm just going to ask God for his way in that. You know, I don't want to make it sound like it's weird or anything, but if God is coming in and speaking to us, then we should want to speak back to him. I want to learn to do that. So I'll pray for that. But anyway.
Well, just like Abraham did, just like Solomon did, just like all these people are doing in the dream. And so that just, you know, my first thought when you started saying that, my first thought is, well, I'm going to add to my prayer now. And Father, while I'm dreaming, help me talk to you.
Yes.
And you know, one of the ways we learn to do that is John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it says, the Father is seeking those who will have that kind of a relationship with him. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you're training yourself all day long to talk to God, when God starts talking to you in the dream, you'll talk automatically.
Yeah.
And if all y'all wondering, go ahead, say it.
Anyways, thanks for sharing that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing that,
amen,
put it upon his lips, because I know that's everybody's heart.
Yeah.
This isn't something I thought of.
Yep. Well, and even though I made the statement that triggered that word inside of you, I don't remember making that statement. And as I needed you to express that like that by the Spirit so that, yeah, we can build that thing up and say, wait a minute. I am going to talk to God while I'm in my dreams. I am talking to God in my dreams. And I am getting answers while I'm there. I'm not going to end my dream. My dream's not going to end before I don't think they ever end before we get the answer, because God is perfect in all of his ways. You and I just wake up. And just don't ever say again, it's just a dream. Just don't ever do that. And just begin to say, God help us. Let's read these last verses. Verse 14, Job 34:33-14. God may speak in one way or another, and man may not perceive it when he's sitting here looking. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he, God, opens the ears of man and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed. Man, I like what you said, Dan. Now you got me on another old thing, and I'm going to preach for another hour because I'm going to be done right away. Watch this. When you're in that dream and you're like, that ain't right. No, that ain't me. I repent right now, right in the dream. Repent in the dream. I love it. He opens your ears, seals your instruction to turn you from your deed, keep you away from pride, so that he keeps your soul from the pit and your life from perishing by the sword. My. Yours. God. Wow. Father, give us all dreams. May every one of us have a Solomon dream tonight. May every person here be filled with signs, wonders, and miracles, life transforming process in their lives while they sleep at night, because their heart is they love you, God. Father, there's been many people that have come and joined with us here. We don't know where they are. I haven't seen them in a while. They love you. They want to be a part, but the cares of the world have caused them not to be able to hold on to the things of God. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, give them a dream. Give them a vision. Give them understanding, Lord. Give them understanding. I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Help them. Help them to see past the sticking point. Father, I pray. Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray. Help us, Jesus, to get unstuck. Help us Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that's formed against us, that's ever been formed against us, no weapon, not from our childhood, not while we was in the womb, not by some, not by some confused theologian or pastor of a church, not by a misguided deacon or elder or coach. Jesus, we love your word. We know we're a new creation. We're renewing our mind every single time we come here. And we declare all the way back to our childhood, you have set these things in order, and not one weapon ever formed against us shall prosper. Not one weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that has ever risen against us, even in our dreams, we condemn those tongues. We command their words to fall to the ground lifeless. They will have no power. They will have no effect. They will have no detrimental value to any part of our lives, because we walk with you every single day of our lives. Let's pray in the Holy Spirit for a minute. Shandola Masta Kidabrona de Vistika. Andala Sinema Kinemata. Onda di Bava la Sinum Branda Kista Pokolonima. Onda Amba de Zendala de Shikata. Amandombala. Ananasita Kesha Rila Kun Studima. Avala. Umbara Stera Strong Clarete Vista Podicabata. Endas de Vila Manada Menakisa. Ashandi Dolera. Amba de Sabi. Blada Kidista Nemuka. We build up ourselves and our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving you glory and honor and praise for everything that you're doing in our life. Ambanda stone branta clisiba, edda stondica, anda levarista mondica. We seal this word tonight, right here, right now, tonight, for the wicked and the just, that they will see dreams and visions and revelation. Lord, you're not willing that any should perish. Stay at your home. None of my relatives will perish. Not even my gnarly old brother-in-law or sister-in-law. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, have mercy on them, Lord. Have mercy. Jude says that we will be looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have mercy on them. In a dream, turn it around so that everybody wants to get together for Thanksgiving and have the most wonderful time they've ever had, free from strife, free from fear, free from anger, free from those demonized spirits from the past that try to destroy. I call it done in Jesus' mighty name. I declare, you lift up the name in your house of those that you're most determined to see come to God. Father, you know the names of those people that I want to come to God and to see this rift, this division changed. In the name of Jesus, you will no longer hold on to this offense. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Humble yourself and see the plan of God for you to be delivered, for you to be transformed, for you to be set free. And humility reign. Oh, my Lord Jesus, may humility reign in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I bless right now absolutely every single one of our Thanksgiving and Christmas events. Just lift your hands and you say it over yours. I bless these holiday season events in my family in Jesus' name. May there be no prejudice. May there be no politics. May there be no offenses, and the peace of God reign in our family throughout this holiday season. Lord, all over, may prodigals return. May sons and daughters come home. May aunts and uncles have a place to go. May estranged fathers be brought back to their children, and children brought back to their fathers. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, I know there's many people right now tonight that's with us that they may not have any desire to see their dad or their mom. But Father, may there be a conversion between November 2nd and Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day, and everybody in the whole family be transformed and say, oh my Lord, look what God has done. We stand in the gap. We make up the hedge. We declare righteousness in our family. You say your family name. I declare righteousness in the Cottle family. I declare righteousness in the Papal family in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare righteousness in the Pastor Rick family and the Oxy family and the Geyser family and the Smith family and the Cottle family, Dan and Gwen Cottle family. I declare righteousness and joy and peace in these families. And I'm just bored, family. Righteousness and joy and peace to everyone that's with us, from us all the way to Julian and Bamala and Sister Mary Fernandez. Righteousness in your family throughout this holiday season in the mighty, 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 awesome name of Jesus, and the awesome name of Jesus, and the awesome name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You want to sing it with me? Let's just say it. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It is done. All over this nation today, around the world, dreams, visions, revelations are coming to people's lives. Glory be to God on high. Say it with me. Thank you that my loved one has been saved. Thank you. My loved one has been saved. Oh, I thank you, and I praise you, and I glorify your mighty, holy, awesome, wonderful name. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise beforehand for your blessing. For your blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Let's go to our communion elements. Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to read this again a couple times. Exodus 12. And we're going to read verse 5 through 14. Exodus 12, 5 through 14. And as soon as we talked about angels, in walked an angel.
Hi, everybody. In walked an angel. What a precious thing.
You're an angel.
So good preaching. I was listening as much as I could.
Wow. Holy Spirit's talking tonight, isn't he? Here we go. We're going to use, thank you, Sunday. Look at you, man. Sunday, you got this. Thank you.
I really want to
bless you, Sunday, and Roger and Rebecca. You guys take care of YouTube, and you're doing a fantastic job of it, welcoming people and I just thank you. I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Exodus 12, verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Jesus. A male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Father, there's a powerful anointing here tonight. There's just a powerful anointing in this room. Whatever you need from God, just reach up and receive it because it's here. 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Everybody at that twilight sacrificed their lamb. They were all doing it together. They shall take some of the blood and put it over the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Jesus' suffering was very bitter. 9, do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. He's given him a very specific instruction And this instruction came to the children of Israel about 1450 BC, 1,450 years before Jesus even arrived. Almost 1,500 years before Jesus said, this is the last Passover. So what God instituted right here lasted for 1,500 years. Just in case you haven't checked lately, 1,500 years ago from right now would be 500 BC. That's how long it is. Verse 11. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, staff in your hand. You shall eat in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Why? Because this first one, they were going to hit the road and they were going to plunder Egypt right then when it happened. Now this is a powerful verse. We say it in the communion every night. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Israel, I will strike judgment. I am the Lord. 13. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. The blood will be a sign on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you as a destruction. When I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generation, you shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. On that day is the beginning of the year for the children of Israel. God adjusted their calendar right then. Now, you and I are on the other side of the cross. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Can you imagine? They're getting ready to receive these elements. The Passover is already done and eaten. And it's done. It's the last one. It's the last Passover.
Thank you, Lord.
And he gives it to us where we can celebrate it every day. Oh, my. Verse 26. I'm trying to be done early tonight for everybody, but glory be to God. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you and me proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Why? For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John 4:17-18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. I like having boldness. Don't you like having boldness? I love it. Why? Because as he is the head of the church, so are we right here, right now, today, in this world. In Jesus' mighty name. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment goes with it. There's no fear in God's love. And for goodness sakes alive, you should not be afraid of these if you're full of God's love. Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, if you pray this prayer with us right now, when we're finished, you'll be right with God. Those of you that's been with us a long time, you're already a believer, pray it anyways. That way it gets it down inside of you, so the next time you need to say the prayer, it'll just flow out of you. Ready? Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And I'm not living without you any longer.
And I'm not living without you. Ever.
Amen. Ever. According to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and
life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Here's your chance. Make a declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of
God. And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and just say, I receive you into my life, Lord.
I receive you into my life, Lord.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and
all of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Forgive me of my sin, Jesus.
Forgive me of my sin, Jesus.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
Make me white as snow.
And I will live for you.
And I will live for you.
Think about it. You get to live for God.
Amen.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the family of God. Don't you love this?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love helping people. Sister Leanne and I love you guys helping us help people.
Amen. Amen.
If you only knew how valuable every one of us, every one of you are to us. Now, I'll get out of the family endearment for a minute. And let's get into what happened. What just happened to me, Pastor? God Almighty just came to live on the inside of me. Listen, you said to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do you realize that? You just said that. Come and live in me. You know what's greater than that? He said, oh, okay. There's a verse of scripture. I think it's Matthew. I don't know. Says Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If any man will hear his voice, ready? And open the door. You gotta open the door. How did I do that, Pastor? By saying, I receive you into my life. And no different than Zacchaeus on the road or the Syrophoenician woman. Or the lepers, or Mary Magdalene, or the lady taken in adultery, where Jesus looked at him and said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus' very word to you, go and sin no more, is enough so that it can happen. They didn't even have a Bible, but they went in the power of that word. You and I have a Bible. Now, Jesus came to live within. He's the author and finisher of faith. So faith came to live within you. He's the light of the world, so you're filled with light. He is the righteousness of God. So that came to live within you. He washed all your sins away, purged them, thrown them in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you another day. From this day forward, all the memories are of those sins. It's what the enemy hurls at you as a picture of what you used to be. Remember, don't go back and meditate in those sins. Why? Because when you go back there, you're trying to meditate in something that you used to do before you found Jesus, and that's a deceptive spirit to you now because you got Jesus. And those sins are all washed away, never to be remembered against you another day. Pretty big and pretty amazing, pretty awesome and pretty wonderful.
Amen. Yes, it is.
You want to preach for a while? It'd be all right. Mm-hmm. How do I live now, Pastor? I want you to get these words. Write them down. From this day forward, you're going to begin to say, I am a believer now. Now, well, what about being a Christian? Well, there's a whole lot that people say as a Christian that don't have nothing to do with God. So if you live your life saying, I'm a believer, then guess what? You get to believe.
Amen.
And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Want to say it? I am a believer.
I am a believer.
Wake up every morning and say, Father, help me walk with you. Matter of fact, before you go to sleep at night, do what Brother Dan spoke by the Holy Spirit. And that is, pray, Father, help me talk to you in my dreams and confess my sins while I'm there and receive the anointing to come out of that dream and make it happen in daily life. Solomon became the greatest king there ever was in Israel with wisdom in his dream. Oh, my, I'm preaching the message all over. Then click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and walk with us. You don't have to make comments where everybody can see. Just be here every night. Click like on the video and follow us every day, because every day the word of God flows freely right here on this program. And it's like tonight. I didn't sit down here with any notes. I mean, yeah, I got some notes. Never read the verses. Why? Because as soon as we got started, the Holy Spirit said, flow this way. You know why? Because he's focused on you. He wants you to make it. When you wake up in the morning before you start your day, just say, Father, help me walk with you today. Get you a Bible. Lay it on the nightstand. Get you a notebook, like I showed you a little earlier. Get you a pen. Lay it right there on the nightstand so that you're ready for God to speak to you. And you'll be surprised how soon it is that he actually does. You'll know it right down in here. You'll wake up going, woo, God spoke to me. Hallelujah. Ready? Let's receive our communion elements. Every one of you that are with us tonight who prayed that prayer, those of you that are just stopping by seeing what's going on, why has this preacher got a shot cup in his hand? I don't. Solo made me a really nice communion cup. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Solo.
They didn't even know it, but hallelujah.
Look what they didn't know. Ready? Let's pray this together. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this for this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes, I am
right now, here, right now, today.
Right here, right now, today.
Perfect health.
Perfect health.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
From my body.
From my body.
In your broken body, Jesus.
In your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
All the way to Malaysia.
All the way to Malaysia.
And right here in the community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
That covers the whole world. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you considered it joy that you might win us. We lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Remember, all of these statements that we make are right out of the Bible. They're verses of Scripture. So listen to what the blood of Jesus is doing in your life. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
And there is no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
All things have become new.
And all things have become new.
So therefore I come boldly to the throne of God.
Therefore I come boldly to the throne of God.
Because you told me to.
Because you told me to.
And I find grace, mercy, and help.
And I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
And crush him underneath my heel.
And crush him underneath my heel.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Sing it with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh,
precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Don't you love this?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad God gave us this opportunity?
I am.
Don't you just feel honored?
Yeah.
I do. Well, we already read the Job verses. So here we go. We're going to read the Jude verses. You reading them tonight, love, or am I?
Okay.
All right, I will.
All right.
I was just giving you an option.
Thank you.
Sister Phyllis set me right in order about making demands.
Where is Phyllis?
Mm-hmm.
Can I hear tonight?
Oh, no, she told us last night that they have a whole houseful.
Oh.
Like whole houseful already. Jude verse 20, here we go. We're rounding the stretch. 15 minutes longer than I wanted, but it's all right. But you, beloved, that means you right there, you. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Yep. In the book of Jude, it says, pray in tongues. Look what it says is going to happen. Build up yourself in your most holy. It's going to keep you in the love of God. And you're going to be able to see the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So love and mercy are the foundations of God's throne, along with justice. So in the middle of us praying for justice against wicked leaders, we also have to pray in the Holy Ghost so that we will stay in the love and the mercy of God. On some have compassion, making a distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them in out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Wow. Beautiful robes of righteousness God gives us. You don't want to defile them.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Now listen. If you have, John said, we have an advocate with the Father. And what's his name? Jesus Christ the righteous. So go to him immediately. Don't run from him. Run to him. He said, no, I need my robes made white. I receive your blood. Give me. I receive your righteousness. And then learn the power and the force of righteousness in your life. 24, out of him who is able to keep you from stumbling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And amen and amen. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Notice that K is a small K. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us a king and a priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. And now, put your hands up. Say it with me. We reap every soul.
We reap every soul.
Every human.
Every human.
Who is hearing these words tonight.
Who is hearing these words
whether it's
tonight.
In 2022
whether it's in 2022.
Or any other year, even into the rapture.
Or any other year, even into the rapture.
We declare in Jesus' name, you get the revelation of this.
We declare in Jesus Christ, you will get the revelation.
And it will transform your life and your heart.
Will transform your life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Put your hands out and say, I receive the hundredfold return.
I receive the hundredfold return.
That belongs to me.
That belongs to me.
Because I gave my life willingly tonight.
Because I gave my life willingly tonight.
To preach this gospel.
To preach this gospel.
We want to use that hundredfold return right here, Lord.
Amen.
To preach the gospel on this earth before you come. And transform people's lives in Jesus. Well, that's all we got. Not really, but that's all we're going to say. So this is what I got to say to you. See you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. And we'll see you in our prayers. Hey, wait. We'll see you in our dreams.
Amen.
And when God speaks, we're going to answer him, and we're going to repent if we got sin in the dreams. And if he shows us pride, we're going to get it out. And then we're going to conquer and cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead in the dreams.
Amen.
And until then, I bless you with deep sleep.
Amen.
You'll lie down in peace and safety. In Jesus' mighty name. All of our friends on Blog Talk Radio, we sure do love you. Wherever you may be, send us an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. It's in the description of this episode, and we'll be a blessing to you in any way. And ask any question. We're here. In Jesus' mighty name.